Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
I'm going to tell you about a fascinating situation that developed with one of these ransomware attacks. And the person we talked with is going to reveal exactly how foreign actors gain control of a company's data and use it to elicit ransom payments. And in this case, the guy paid, the company paid, and it worked out. And that's sometimes what has to happen. And it's particularly relevant because City of Sheboygan is dealing with a ransomware attack right now. Our information this morning is that some outside party gained access to the city's network earlier this month. They've been working on this. And this is exactly how the person we're about to share our conversation with details what happens. You find out that you've been attacked, that some of your data is hijacked or all of it, things that you need to operate within your company. And then these outside actors let you know what it will take to get your data back. And so City of Sheboygan is dealing with that at the moment. And the person who's going to tell us exactly how this all plays out is someone you've heard on the air here at WTMJ.
Yeah, Steve Wexler, our friend and colleague at GKB. He was helping run a different cluster of radio stations in the Illinois area when an email came through and they realized they had been attacked.
I got an email and the email said, "Dear friends," it was very friendly, "Dear friends, by now you may have realized that your company's data has been breached and locked down, and we're here to help you." And I'm reading this email going, "You're here to help me. Who are you?" Well, it was the bad guys. The bad guys email you and say, "Hey, we've done this to you." The email was very friendly and warm. In fact, it said, "Please don't gnash your teeth. This is not a time for hurt feelings or being upset. We will help you for a certain price, unlock your data, and you guys can all get back to work." They have like a customer service number that you can call.
They call it customer service?
They did. They said, "We have a customer service team that is standing by." I was the customer. Now, when you asked me when we knew.
You didn't want to be the customer.
We did not. In fact, they created the customer by attacking the company. What's interesting is when you get the email, when I got the email that they had infiltrated the infrastructure of the IT, of the data, it turns out they had already been lurking around for 10 to 14 days. So one of the things I learned during this, Eric and Vince, is that when the bad guys attack, they're actually already in your house for about 14 days looking around to see where you keep the money, where you keep the jewelry. And you just don't know they're there because they're trying to figure out what's the value of the data that they can find. Then when they figure out, we got enough, that's when they tell you that they've invaded.
So did you try to recover anything? Did you call IT guy and say, "Hey, what can we get back?"
Yeah, well, we knew the people in the radio stations all of a sudden started realizing they couldn't access things like financial data, payables. The finance team was the first to realize something's really wrong. And then all the people that do what you guys all do, which is press buttons and you hope that audio fires, they all of a sudden couldn't fire any audio. So they started realizing something was very wrong. The IT department starts taking you offline, servers, anything connected to the outside world. But of course, by then, it's too late.
Talking with Steve Wexler, you know him from Good Karma Brands, but Steve was running a different radio operation and was cyber attacked, held ransom.
Yes.
I kind of joked, but do you know, was it Russia? Was it Belarus?
So the cybersecurity firm, which is one of the things you do, you end up having to hire outside help to figure this out. They believe that this particular, what they call threat actor, I just called them the bad guys, but
they're
the threat actor. They believe that they were in Russia, perhaps Belarus, but they've interacted with them before. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these threat actors are familiar to the cybersecurity community.
So did you call the customer service number?
We did not. So all the communication with the bad guys happens on what's called the dark web, which I've heard about, but I had never experienced. I don't know where you find the dark web, but the cybersecurity people know how to go. They give you a code. The good guys, or I guess the bad guys, give you a link And that's where you can communicate with them. And they suggest, by the way, you better communicate with us right away because the price will go up and we'll do more damage unless you reach out. So you end up getting a law firm, first of all, a cybersecurity law firm. You get a cybersecurity company that's reputable. By the way, for business owners out there, check your cyber insurance because this was new for me and for our group. And they will guide you because they deal with this. This isn't new to them. It was new to us. And so the cybersecurity folks get on the dark web and begin a dialogue with the bad guys. And so I have like back and forths. It almost looks like the old DOS computer, the black screen with the green letters and the cursor blinking. That's exactly what it looked like.
So you paid it?
We did. We ended up,
Before you get to that, was there conversation of like, should we pay it or should we call the cops? Or what?
Yeah, so you are supposed to let the FBI know because this is an international incident. Yeah. And so you file a report with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They said, we encourage you not to pay a ransom. Well, thank you. But how else are we going to – we didn't know what to do.
What do you got?
What have you got to go find these guys and get our data back? I mean, every situation is different. Now, our data was locked. Not stolen. There's a difference. If I steal your data, I go in and I take it and I have it and I can go sell it. I can find a third market. If it's personal information, by the way, social security numbers, addresses, IDs, the market is different for that kind of info because I can now violate the confidence of like hundreds or thousands of employees. They locked our data. The way that was described to me, it's as if kidnappers came into your house and kidnapped your family. They're still in your house, though, and you just can't see them or talk to them, but they're still in your house. Our data was still on our servers. We just had no access to it. It's creepy, isn't it? That's how it was described to me. So we ended up in a dialogue. They say, by the way, to show our good faith, send us a couple of the locked files. We will unlock them and send them back to you so that you can see that we are good on our word. So I said to our guys, well, if we end up paying some kind of ransom, how do I know once the money – by the way, it's Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. It's Bitcoin, which, of course, I don't know if you carry that with you. I don't know how you – I had to figure out how do you get some of that. He said, well, you can trust them. And I had to pause and go, I can trust them? These are the criminals that stole all our data. And I was told that you can trust them because if they get a bad reputation, nobody will ever negotiate with them.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. If you kill the hostage every time, there's no sense in negotiating.
Exactly.
Right?
So he said you can trust them. Once you pay within an hour or two, you'll sit around. It'll be a very long 2 hours, but your data will start unlocking. So we ended up going back and forth with a negotiation. We ended up at a price that was high, but it's what we made a business decision to do. Then you have to go find a digital bank because you're dealing in a currency of Bitcoin to, by the way, an undisclosed location in Eastern Europe, which, by the way, you'd then have to clear a federal security money laundering check because the federal government is like, wait, where is this money?
What are you doing?
Who is getting it? They had to check to make sure this isn't like a terrorist group that's on like a watch list and it's quite involved. Finally, you get the approval, you transfer the money, and then literally on a Saturday afternoon, I'm sitting there at my computer on the phone with our IT person and all the people that were helping. And all of a sudden, click, 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 click. All the files that had been locked were unlocked and all the data was restored for a price.
Did you go on Yelp then and give them a good review? Because
Great customer service. they're very responsive. By the way, once it's done. Oh, and here's the other thing they give you for the price. By the way, they say for this price, we'll unlock your data. And when we're done, we will send you a report on how we infiltrated your IT. And we have some helpful tips on how to prevent this from happening again.
Wow.
We're just like an account to them. They just go and try to get as much money from each one of these as they can.
Talking with Steve Wexler, he was running a broadcast operation that was cyber hacked. My last question for you was along those lines, Wex, is so they told you how they got in. What was it?
They did. So it was a little hard to fully understand because there's lots of different ways the bad guys can get in, right? The one we all know about is don't click on the link. It can open up malware and viruses and all the rest. So we still think that may have been the entry, that they sent something to somebody, somebody clicked on it, next thing you know, they were in. But they also alluded to what they called a brute force attack. And what I learned about this is that what they do is they go out on the dark web and they buy admin passwords and different combinations of domains, and they just blast them out there and seeing if any of them fit. It's sort of like just throwing your line into the water, hoping that maybe a combination works. And so the experts think that they might have, by program, by bot, I guess, found the correct combination of password and domain name and by brute force got into the IT system.
Boy, I sure hope that's the case and it wasn't Jane in accounting.
Who just clicked.
Oh, that looks interesting.
Click. Or Vince in programming or somebody
that would never happen.
That would never happen, right?
Oh, Steve, really appreciate it. Fascinating story, and I'm glad ultimately it sort of turned out okay.
Yeah, I mean, it did. I mean, you know, the old saying is all it takes is money. You know, there is cyber insurance that most companies have. I would say for any business owner, though, who's hearing this, check your cyber insurance because now that I think about it, it wasn't robust enough. It has limits on the ransom, limits on the legal fee, limits on the cyber. So just as a little bit of a piece of advice, check it to make sure that it's robust enough. You may have to pay a little more in premiums, but I can tell you firsthand, it is worth it.
And we've heard Jeff Salasinski from R&R Insurance on this show talk about that exact thing. One, if you don't have it, you need cyber insurance. And two, if you do have it, it's probably not enough. And today is a good day to start looking at that because here's a real life example. And then secondly, don't roll your eyes at the IT guys. We all do when they say, hey, don't click on this stuff. And they send the, like, we have this thing in our company, the fish alerts, the fake emails trying to get you to.
It's good. They help me a little bit.
They make you aware.
Yeah, you're more vigilant.
This is why they're doing that. You don't want to end up in this situation. 825 on Wisconsin's Morning News.